Despite all of the legitimate fan angst, I really do believe this is a good time to be grateful as a San Francisco Giants fan. And with Thanksgiving being yesterday, we're going to discuss our Giants gratitude list next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on the show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts, and where we start is talking about the number one thing that we're most grateful for, and by we, I mean I, because I don't want to put words in your mouth, but as a Giants fan, what's my gratitude list? And like I said, I really do believe despite the angst, despite some of the negativity, things could be a heck of a lot worse. And also there's a lot of, to me, reason for optimism moving forward. And the number one thing here in terms of what to be grateful for is that the Giants seem poised to have a major offseason. And this has been a long time coming, right? This is something that fans have been clamoring for a long time. And in some ways, when they had their 107-win season in 2021, it kind of helped them, I think, justify not doing too much in the 2021-2022 offseason. Another factor for them not doing all that much had to be, or was likely, that there was recovery from a pandemic shortened season in which there were no fans in the stands. So the Giants kind of acted unlike the Giants in that they didn't really make that many significant moves. And you might say, well, that's pretty typical of, you know, Farhan Zaidi. But there's more context to it than that for me. Like the first offseason that Farhan Zaidi was here, they did chase after Bryce Harper. He ends up signing 13 years, $330 million with the Phillies. The Giants offered 12 years, $310 million. So that is a very legitimate pursuit. Some have said it wasn't legitimate for whatever reason, but of course it was. And also there were a lot of contracts on the books and they weren't yet a good team. And so just like adding free agent stop gaps wasn't really what they wanted to do. They wanted to kind of find younger players and players with more team control. And they have for, you know, to an extent, like the Tyro Estradas of the world, the Donovan Solanos of the world when he was here. So Zaidi keeps saying, and this is like going into year five, that they're a team in transition, and they very much still are. And I think all along, the plan has kind of been to wait for the farm system to start producing some everyday type talent. Like this roster that they've put together is a transitional type of roster, but I do believe, in terms of being grateful now, that the time has come where they're ready to not just expedite the transition, but really make the transition happen. And they seem poised to do it through free agency with at least one like impact talent, and I think more than one, like legitimate reports that we have coming out, not just rumors and what have you, but, you know, Susan Slusser of the Chronicle, Alex Pavlovich and others, Andy Baggerly of the Athletic, reporting that essentially they're wanting, obviously Judge is like their top target, right? And that's something to be grateful for because not every team is in on Aaron Judge. Not every team realistically is actually trying to sign this guy. And like, if you're a fan of the Pirates or the A's or something, or the Reds, like you just know for a fact your team not only is not going after him this year, but they never will go after that kind of player in free agency. But Giants are a different case. I know they haven't come away with one of these guys, but this year I really do think it's going to be different, but we're going to have to wait and see. But this is a gratitude list, not a fears list. And Yes. So, but the reports that they're going after not just Aaron Judge, but also a center fielder, and then not just settle at that, but also a middle infielder, potentially one of the star shortstops of the free agent class, and then not stopping there, but getting a, you know, front of the rotation type of arm. And I think they'll mix in some bullpen help as well, but that's a pretty darn aggressive offseason plan. And I think that it's something to be grateful for. Like I said, I mean, that's the thing is, I don't want to say we're spoiled because, you know, certainly some teams are even more aggressive, you know, like the Dodgers have been far more, you know, have had a far higher payroll. So have the Yankees and other teams, the Mets now. But, you know, the Giants are also in a better position than most teams in the league who just don't go after these types of guys. And I think that our time has come. We've waited. We've kind of been as patient as we can be waiting as the transition is happening. But in some ways, I can look at their 81-81 record in 2022 and point to it as something to be grateful for because it was a wake-up call that this that they need to expedite the process. They can't just sit back and kind of wait for these players from the minor leagues to show up and be the impact talent and then kind of build around those guys. They need to force the issue. And so it's not just Judge they're looking at. They're legitimately looking at Carlos Correa, Trey Turner, Xander Bogaerts, Dansby Swanson. All of those guys are in play for the Giants, as well as top of the rotation type arms. And so it's just a good position to be in. But speaking of the young talent, I think that that's another part of it. And like the baseline talent that's already there, maybe we're sleeping on a little bit as to what they currently have in place. There's a lot of angst about, oh, the Giants are horrible or they're in a really bad position roster-wise. But actually, if you look at these Zips projections that just came out, we'll see that they're actually starting from a decent place as they head into the offseason here with tremendous room to grow based on what I just said about how aggressive they figure to be. So we'll get into the second reason to be grateful in just a minute. But before we do, this episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline, including MLB offseason odds, over-unders on contracts like Aaron Judge. Somebody tell me, are they still saying $375 million? I keep meaning to ask. I already... my brother's in New York and he placed a bet on over-under on that contract for Aaron Judge and predictions about where these players are going to end up. They move dynamically. Aaron Judge continues to be said to be going to the Giants if he were to leave the Yankees according to the odds. So you can check all of this out on BetOnline where it's the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline is where the game starts. All right, as promised, another thing to be grateful for as a Giants fan, I really do mean what I said there about this isn't just some corny segment, right? Like I'm an optimist. If you haven't kind of learned that by now, I'm a Giants optimist. Sometimes that can cause you to have some blinders on a little bit. But at this point, like I'm not the only one saying that I think they're likely to make a significant or two or three move this winter. And so I really do think it's a good time to be a Giants fan. Thanks for making Locked On Giants your first listen today. For your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with the local experts and insights that only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. So yes, these Zips projections, courtesy of Dan Zimborski over at FanGraphs, he titled them the, what did he say, the absurdly early 2023 Zips projections. Yeah, absurdly preliminary 2023 Zips projections. They're based on the current status of these rosters. And so, you know, Aaron Judge is not on the Yankees in these projections. The Giants don't have Carlos Rodon. And so, as he says, if you read the piece, these are not meant to be like, hey, this is what's going to happen in 2023. It's basically self-reflection for teams to look at where do we stand before we make our moves. And for the Giants, it's kind of a surprisingly good projection. And when I say good, it's 83 wins. And I'm not saying some accuse me of this when I mentioned this the other day. I'm not saying 83 wins would be a good result. Not at all. I'm saying it's a good place to start when you figure to have a big offseason. Because if you legitimately were to add Aaron Judge, a shortstop, a center fielder, an ace caliber starting pitcher, look, this is objective. Their projection would be in the 90s for sure if you add all that talent. Like even Judge alone would push them close to 90. And then if you, that's without even replacing Carlos Rodon. And again, these are just projections. It doesn't mean Dan Zimborski's system is correct, but these are kind of universally regarded as some of the best projections out there. We've got Pecota, which I don't know how they compare year to year. I actually don't have the data on which of these is best with Pecota and Zips, and Steamer just does players. I don't think they do standings, but you know, different systems, 538, but Zips is one of my favorites. Dan Zimborski's a kind of interesting guy, and I enjoy following him on Twitter. But anyway, the Giants here at a projection of 83 wins before making any moves. That is definitely something to be grateful for. We look at the Colorado Rockies projected right now at 68 and 94. So could be a heck of a lot worse than 83 and 79 as your starting point. You know, the Pirates, the Reds, the Cubs, all with projections of 88 plus losses. The Nationals, 95 losses. The Marlins, 83 losses under 500, despite having a really good pitching staff. Plenty of teams under 500 projections right now, including the White Sox, right? The White Sox have a lot of talent, and they regressed heavily in 2022, kind of a similarly disappointing year to the Giants. Didn't they have the same record, 81 and 81? I think maybe they did. And now, all of a sudden, their projection is 76 and 86. And so for the Giants, I mean, Dan Zimborski points out that part of the reason that they're better than you might think is that his projection system increasingly likes Kyle Harrison. So that's another thing we're going to be grateful for in just a minute, is talking about the state of the farm system, not just the players who are in it, but their proximity to the major leagues. And how about the Yankees, right? They're only projected, again, this is not counting Aaron Judge because he's not currently on their team, at 85 and 77. So there's a lot of talk about how the why would Judge want to come to the Giants if he wants to win? Well, without Aaron Judge, the Giants and the Yankees are projected to be pretty much the same. I mean, it's literally one win, it's two wins different, but if the Giants gained a win and the Yankees lost a win, you're the same. It's pretty darn close, closer than you might think, because the baseline of talent is not as bad as you would think. And there's just, as Pete Patella, their new GM, said, like when he's asked, what attracted you to the Giants? What he keeps saying over and over, I listened to like four different interviews with him, and he said this every time, is that the roster is deep and it doesn't drop off a cliff anywhere. What he means is like, you look through and there's just not these black holes on your roster, on your projected roster. And so while they may not have that upper tier talent, that's again what they're trying to get this winter, and I think that they ultimately will. And that's what Pete Patella said too, is like, when you have that baseline of depth and your roster doesn't drop off a cliff anywhere, and then you add star talent on top of that, the wins rack up really quickly. That's really exactly what he said. And if you look at the Angels, they're like an example of how if you add star talent to a roster that does drop off a cliff, it's not enough. You can have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and others like Anthony Rendon and Taylor Ward, who had a really good year, and still they finished with a significantly worse record than the Giants in 2022. Their projection, by the way, 84 and 78, the Giants at 83 and 79. So you've got Ohtani, you've got Trout, and you're still projected as one win better than the Giants. So if you add players like that to the Giants, it takes off in a hurry. And that's what I'm seeing here when I look at this. You know, whether it's Estrada, people dunk on Yastrzemski. But, I mean, he's just one of those guys who's just another solid player who, by the way, has performed better than Cody Bellinger and has a better projection than Cody Bellinger. For all my enthusiastic Bellinger, you know, people who desire Cody Bellinger on the Giants, Yaz has been better and projects to be better. I get that Bellinger may have more upside, certainly has been better in the past, but in the recent past, it's been Yaz. He's a solid player. He's just, if you expect him to be your impact player, you're going to have a problem. But the story of 2021 was that they had all that depth, right? Going into the year, everyone, myself included, was talking about the depth of the Giants, and it ended up coming through in a major way. But what they also had was players who did produce at a star level. They had Posey produce at a star level. Brandon Crawford literally finished fourth in NL MVP voting. That's star level production. Brandon Belt missed a lot of time, but when he was on the field, it was star level production. Darren Ruff even gave them somewhat star level production when he was on the field, which was mostly in a platoon role, but he was so good that it was really great production. So when you have that baseline of talent and all you need is like the front line talent, and then they're likely to make those kinds of moves this offseason, to me, how is that not something to be pretty excited about? And so only time will tell. It depends on whether or not they actually execute this plan, but they seem hell-bent on doing so. And so I would, if I was a betting man, I would kind of assume, put money on them coming away with some impact talent this winter. And so those two things combined are just two things at a high level to be grateful for as a Giants fan, but also the farm system. It's vitally important to the long-term health of this organization is producing talent from the minor leagues. You can't really just build through free agency only. If you want to have sustained success, you need a pipeline of talent coming up through your system. And there's something unique about this moment in time and why it's a different story for the Giants now than it has been in the recent past regarding their farm system, and it's something to be grateful for. We'll get to it in just a minute, but before we do. All right, as promised, the final kind of thing to be grateful for, we might touch on a couple of bullet point other items, but I just wanted to mention that the state of the farm system, there's a couple of things going on here. Number one, I think, you know, in the first couple of years under this new front office, there was a lot of talk about how Zaidi was like making the farm system better and that they were rising in the rankings and they were considered one of the best farm systems. But by some publications in the last few years, they've either leveled off or even gone backwards. And it can happen when other teams ahead of you get stronger in their farm system, you can just drop, even if yours stayed the same. In terms of the rankings, that's the thing. It's like the rankings are just not completely objective. They're subjective. Different people can view these different ways. And the Giants have kind of emphasized that they think that some of their rankings are too low. But I don't want to, that's not even my point. It's not about, oh, be grateful that the farm system is good and these rankings are wrong. By the way, like the pessimistic rankings have them more middle of the pack than anything, as opposed to like front. Nobody has them. Actually, Baseball Prospectus has had them, I think going into the year, they had them like number two in the game. And Baseball Prospectus, I just looked at the Giants. They came out with their Giants top prospects list, and they were pretty bullish on the Giants system still. But what's different about this current moment in time as it pertains to the Giants system is that these guys are actually getting closer to the major leagues. I understand, like, Marco Luciano didn't progress as hoped in 2022. A back injury slowed him down, and he didn't get as many at bats as they would have hoped when he could have, you know, played in a significant number of games in Double A, and it would have made him a possible, you know, player to debut in 2023. I think he still could at the end of the year, but everything would kind of have to go right. But if you look at Casey Schmidt, if you look at Kyle Harrison, and just the continued progression of others, but specifically, I think with Schmidt and Harrison, you could see like a legitimate impact from, I mean, Harrison has the upside of frontline starting pitcher type performance. And the dude is, he didn't finish in AAA. He finished in Double A, but he pitched a lot in Double A. He was promoted from High A to Double A during the year and ended up pitching a ton in Double A. So he could start in Triple A, honestly. He might start in Double A, but then go to AAA pretty quickly, and then he's right on the precipice of the majors. In fact, I think it was Alex Pavlovich recently wrote that, that there's a chance they could have him start the year in the majors. And so that's exciting. And I mean, they've had some development success over the last several years. Logan Webb is a huge developmental success that we don't talk about enough. And Camilo Doval is also a huge developmental success, but they need more of that. They need that consistently. But Tyro Estrada, I'm just going to mention, he's also been, they traded for him. He wasn't like homegrown per se, but the season he had, which by the way, some defensive metrics are like very negative about Estrada's season and some are not. And so I see some people say he's horrible defensively. Well, not every defensive metric agrees with that assessment. And just watching him, he had some blunderous moments, but generally speaking, I think he should be able to be fine, if not above average defensively. So Estrada's emergence is something to be grateful for, as with these other developmental success stories. But I really do think in 2023, it might finally be the year where they start to kind of have some of these more impact type talents making their debut and potentially making that impact, which they just have been lacking for the most part, especially on the position player side, but also generally on the pitching side. And so, yeah, all those three things combined make me pretty optimistic about the state of the Giants. And we are a little bit spoiled. Like, think if you think the Giants situation is just like untenable and terrible in regards to the rest of the league, then you're not aware of quite how bad the situations are for plenty of teams around the league. They've also got like no future payroll commitments. And so, you know, even the Yankees, they've got this projection that's similar to the Giants, but they've got already like $200 million committed to their roster. And if you look at future seasons, the Giants have like $18 million committed to 2024 salaries and then zero in 2025 and beyond. So you can add Aaron Judge and or Carlos Correa types, and those would be the only guys that you've got commitments to. And so if you're smart about it and you add the right players that you believe in long term, then it's a good place to start. And I don't know, I feel like we've just kind of been through some trials and tribulations in the last 5 years, but the time is now and things are going to look different starting with the offseason beginning now. So that's my gratitude list. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know on Twitter if there's anything you would add to this list. You can check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. Also, thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen. For your next listen, check out Locked On Sports Today, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Like I said, thanks again for listening to Locked On Giants. Have a great weekend. Hopefully some significant news. That's another thing to be grateful for. We've made it through the deadest of dead periods so far in the offseason, and hopefully something happens significantly over the next week. But if not, the winter meetings are a week from Sunday, and so stuff's going to get crazy at the winter meetings, guaranteed. So anyway, have a great weekend. Can't wait to be with you again on Monday. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.